Alleluia! Christ is risen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of the Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
Our first reading is from the book of Jeremiah. At that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. When Israel sought for rest, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O Virgin Israel. Again you shall take your tambourines and go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. Again you shall plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall enjoy the fruit. For there shall be a day when sentinels will call in the hill country of Ephraim, come, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Give thanks to God who is Lord. God bless you, who is Lord. A reading from the book of Acts. Peter began to speak to Cornelius and the other Gentiles. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, She turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
A few months ago, I did something I had never done before and bought myself a piece of art. It's an icon of Jesus the gardener, and I first saw it on the Facebook page of the artist Kristen Wheeler. The primary image is of a dark-haired, dark-skinned, slightly disheveled-looking Jesus holding in his cupped hands a big scoop of rich brown soil with a plant in full flower at its center. The picture is actually in front of our altar, so if you want to come forward at communion or after church, you can get a closer look at it. I love gardening, and I'm convinced that soil is one of the most miraculous things on the planet. And that was all it really took to sell me on this particular work of art. It wasn't until it was shipped to me and I looked at it in person that I noticed the most glaringly obvious thing about it. It is an Easter icon full of symbols meant to evoke new life and the experience of that first Easter morning. If you want to check it out, on the right side of Jesus, below a watering can and some gardening tools, in front of a palm branch, there is a white Easter lily springing up. And if that weren't enough, on the other side of Jesus, just behind his left shoulder, is the empty tomb. That should be a giveaway. How I missed all this when I first saw the image on Facebook, I'm not sure. The more I see it and look at it, the more moved I am by it all, especially just by the thought of an artist taking the time to imagine what Jesus might have looked like that morning in the garden, perhaps just moments before Mary arrived. It speaks to me of vitality and something close to exuberance with its rich reds and greens and golds and its energetic shapes that almost leap off the canvas. Can you imagine yourself in that place for a moment? Can you imagine yourself in the gospel story, standing like Mary Magdalene in front of the tomb with the stone rolled away, not certain what was happening to you or even to reality itself? There are so many clues to new life, to the new life that is emerging in this earth-shattering, history-changing moment, and yet it is easy to gloss over them. Let's stop and consider some more of the imagery in the icon. It has three large drops of water falling from the watering can. Those remind me of the tears of Mary Magdalene and the earlier tears of Martha and Mary and Jesus himself. And then, too, they remind me of the promise that when we die with Christ in the waters of baptism, we will also be raised with him at his resurrection. The water in the picture honors our own tears, too, those we shed in joy and awe, as well as in sorrow. And then the flowers. In some legends about the crucifixion, lilies grew up under Jesus while he was still hanging on the cross, fed by his blood. The shape of the lilies is also meant to remind us of a trumpet announcing the resurrection. And the passion flower is rife with symbolism, said to represent everything from the crown of thorns to Christ's five wounds to the whips used against him. Now, I know some of this can sound pretty gruesome to our ears, and maybe it's because I was an academic medievalist before I was a priest, but I think there is something so helpful in the way our ancestors in the faith were willing to see the both and in everything. They were adept at the spiritual practice of looking at and appreciating something beautiful while still acknowledging its connection to pain and suffering. Likewise, they had the skill to look at something tragic and not let it negate the beauty living side by side with the pain. Last night in her sermon, Deacon Margaret said that joy and fear can coexist, and there's so much wisdom in that. It reminds me of the Frederick Buechner quote, "Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid." Beautiful and terrible things are happening in the world today. And beautiful and terrible things were happening on that first Easter morning. The hands that hold that passion flower plant, seeming almost to offer it to the viewer, are the same hands that were so recently pierced by nails. Life and death, creation and destruction, live side by side in nature. Seeds need to be buried or burned and broken apart before they can create new life. The disciples closest to Jesus needed to see that tomb, to see evidence that he really had died and been buried. Easter is not about make-believe or denial. It is about a deep wrestling with complexity and authenticity, with the beautiful and the terrible, with life and with death, and the ultimate truth that in the end, it is love that triumphs over all. There's one more thing about the icon of Jesus the gardener I want to share. According to the artist, she was inspired to paint this after reading a book by Lutheran pastor Nadia Bolz Weber, who wrote, "Perhaps Mary Magdalene saw Jesus as a gardener because he still had dirt from his own tomb under his nails. God helps us out of the graves we dig ourselves and pulls us into love. Like Jesus, resurrected bodies are in rough shape." I love these reminders that healing is messy work and that we are invited to get as dirty and roughed up as Jesus was when we enter into the work of healing ourselves and the world. I sometimes say that Jesus was the most fully human of all human beings. And the creation stories in Genesis teach us that it is the original vocation of humankind to tend the earth, to till it and keep it, just as gardeners do today. So I know Jesus never owned a home and had a nice little plot in the backyard, but he almost certainly knew something about growing food. After all, man cannot live on fish alone. And he had a gardener's eye, constantly pointing out things about the trees and plants around him, using mustard seeds and fig trees and grains of wheat as metaphors. insisting that a simple lily is more beautiful than anything that could have been purchased by the great wealth of Solomon. So maybe Mary doesn't mistake Jesus for a gardener so much as she recognizes him as a gardener. Mary, one of his closest companions, intuitively knows the truth of who Jesus is. When both beautiful and terrible things are happening, it is often our heart that gains understanding before our thinking mind arrives in the same place. At that moment, Mary sees Jesus, and Mary sees a gardener. In other words, in seeing the gardener, Mary sees something essential about who Jesus really is. The resurrection takes place in a garden in John's gospel for a reason, and the reason is more theological than aesthetic. In Christian teaching, Jesus is the firstborn of all creation and the one through whom all things were made. Salvation history began in a garden, and salvation will be fulfilled in a garden. When God promises to make all things new, God is not just talking about us, about humanity. God is talking about us and all things, all of creation, of which we are but one precious and irreplaceable part. Now, I love it that in recent years, the church has been reclaiming the idea that the first witness to the resurrection was a woman, Mary Magdalene. It's a wonderful truth. But what I am pondering today is that it might be even more accurate to say that Jesus first shared his new life with the more than human creation. There were no people present at the moment that Jesus rose from the dead. But there were elements of creation, the soil, the stone, the water, the plants, the trees, the sky, and so on and so on. It was creation that first witnessed the resurrection, and creation that continues to witness to the reality of renewal and restoration, showing us over and over again the glory of the Creator and the persistence and profusion of life. So why is this important? Why does it matter? In a world both beautiful and terrible, we need to be clear that Easter is about much more than our own individual salvation, or even the salvation of others who call themselves Christians. There is so much more at stake in the story. In her book, Liturgies for Resisting Empire, Kat Armus explains it this way. To live into Easter is to align ourselves with life in the face of systems that produce death. It is to practice restoration where there is harm, to cultivate hope where despair has taken root, and to extend care in places long marked by neglect. Easter asks something of us, not just what we believe, but how we live, what we resist, and who we choose to stand with. Salvation is a call to take part in the ongoing work of renewal. Easter asks something of us. It asks us to find new ways of living, ways that will restore and renew, heal and make whole. There are so many terrible things happening in the world that feel beyond our control. But what is in our control is how we respond, starting with how we tend the patch of earth right under our feet and all the creatures that inhabit it. We can resist any efforts to demean and diminish the goodness of creation. We can stand with those who are giving their all for the renewal of the earth, for peace and equity and justice. We can tell new stories, sharing good news of hope, not to turn away from the terrible, but to lean into the beautiful that still exists right alongside it. In the beginning, God proclaimed that it was all good and very good. And in the fullness of time, Jesus came to be with us and be one of us because God so loved the world, all of it, from mustard seed to mountaintop and beyond. And now it is our turn to love the world in all its terrible and wondrous beauty, to proclaim its goodness on this day of salvation and to rejoice and be glad in it indeed. So let's enjoy the beauty and the wonder, and then let's get our hands dirty and get to work. Amen. Through the Paschal mystery, dear friends, we are buried with Christ by baptism into his death and raised with him to newness of life. I call upon you, therefore, now that our Lenten observance is ended, to renew the solemn promises and vows of holy baptism, by which we once renounced Satan and all his works, and promised to serve God faithfully in his holy Catholic Church. Do you reaffirm your renunciation of evil and renew your commitment to Jesus Christ?
I do.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread and in the prayers?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, with God's help.
May Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us a new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, and bestowed upon us the forgiveness of sins, keep us in eternal life by his grace, in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray for the church and the world.
In peace, we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work, for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone, for this community, the nation, and the world, for the just and proper use of your creation, for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble, for the peace and unity of the Church of God, for Sean, our presiding bishop, Megan, our bishop, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God and His church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King,
and praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. We pray for the repose of the soul of Willard Blankenship and for his family and friends who mourn. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them,
who put their trust in you. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably upon your whole church, that wonderful and sacred mystery. By the effectual workings of your providence, carry out in tranquility the plan of salvation. Let the whole world see and know that things which were cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new, and that all things are being brought to their perfection by him through whom all things were made, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. Happy Easter. Well, the choir is still speaking to me. That's really good news. It's wonderful to see so many of you here this morning, and it's just been a wonderful, joyful, sorrowful, very rich Holy Week, and it takes dozens of people to make it all possible. So I won't try to thank them all this morning, but you know who you are, and I'm just really, really grateful. All of us have been going through different throat ailments and other things, but we're here and we're still standing, and it's just a joy. Your yellow sheet inside your bulletin has some of the most important or time-sensitive announcements, but if you're not receiving our weekly email, I hope you will sign up for that through the office. We try to keep it to once a week, and but it does have lots of information in it and links to longer articles and things like that, so there's more in there than we could fit on the yellow sheet. I think perhaps the most important thing today is actually an announcement that we're going to have by Reverend Debbie in just a moment. But before we get to that, I wanted to point out that the Easter offering, just like at Christmas, we choose an organization to give any donations that come in that day out to the community to an organization that's doing good work. We do that at Easter as well. And this year, our Easter special offering is going to the Heart of Davis Safe Parking Program. It's a new program. They have really worked hard getting it off the ground. It's doing great work, and we appreciate anything that you can give to support that. We also have things happening after today, so take a look at that whole wonderful list of offerings we've got all through the month of April. There are things going on. It's Earth Month, and so we're going out hiking, and we're going to gardens and things like that. There's a racial reconciliation workshop coming up that will be held here at St. Martin's. And next Saturday, Charlie Bamforth, he was here at an earlier service, is going to be doing his super fun, if you haven't done this before, his brewing stories. It's an opportunity for us to come together. It's over at Sudworks, and everything that goes into all the money that is made by that will go to the YOLO Interfaith Immigration Network. So hope to see lots of you there. All right, Debbie. Oh, it's the Easter Bunny.
Happy Easter. Well, rumor has it there'll be an Easter egg hunt after this service, so I wanted to give some instructions so you would know what to do. First of all, before we ever begin to hunt, we're all going to gather over right outside in the patio between the office and the church here, and we're going to dig up the Alleluia banner. Well, the last Sunday before Lent, we had a big banner that said Alleluia that had been colored by all the children here, and so we had to bury it because we don't say Alleluia during Lent. Well, now it's time to dig it up. We've been saying Alleluia all morning, but that's because you just can't hold it in. But still, we need to dig it up, and we'll hang it somewhere. After that, you will, children will split up into groups by age. There'll be somebody holding a sign that you gather with. If you have a basket, great. If you don't, we have extras. And then you'll go off to wherever it is your hunt is taking place. And when I blow the whistle, we begin. After the hunt, there will be plastic eggs that you have emptied. If you take those and put them in the buckets that are marked empty eggs, we'll use them again next year. And you don't have to take them home and worry about what to do with them. All right, and then just one final thing. We will not begin anything until the final sound of the trumpet and the organ quiets, and then we will start. So you don't have to run. We have all the time we need to do what we're going to do. We can walk slowly and speak softly.
Thank you. If you are maybe not in one of those age categories that's going to be listed during the hunt, maybe you're over 30, I don't know what the cutoff is. We do have a brunch happening as well. We're really going to try to save some food for those people who are going to be coming in a little bit late because they're out at the Easter egg hunt. But you're more than welcome to come enjoy some time together and some food together in the parish hall. We have communion at the altar rail today. If you haven't done that for a while, just know that you come forward down the center aisle and an usher will be here to show you when it's time to move to the rail. You can stand or kneel as is most comfortable for you. When the priest puts the bread into your hand, you can either consume it right away and wait for the chalice to come by, or you can hold on to it, and when the person comes by with the chalice, they will take it from you, dip or intinct it into the wine, and hand it back to you to consume all at once. You can also cross your arms indicating you would like to receive a blessing. Or if you can't come forward to the altar rail, just let an usher know, and we'll be sure to bring communion to you. Our communion bread is homemade, it is vegan and gluten-free, and we really encourage everyone to come forward to receive from Christ's table. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who has sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your words spoken through the prophets, and above all in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. For in these last days you sent Jesus to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In Christ, you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In Christ, you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember Christ's death, we proclaim Christ's resurrection, we await Christ's coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Savior of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through whom we are acceptable to you, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with blessed Martin and all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your children. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation. By Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Please rise as you are able for the post-communion prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have graciously accepted us as living members of our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Savior. Amen. May God, who has redeemed us and made us God's children through the resurrection of Jesus, bestow upon you the riches of God's blessing.
Amen.
May God, who through the water of baptism has raised us from sin into newness of life, make you holy and worthy to be united with Christ forever.
Amen.
May God, who has brought us out of bondage into true and lasting freedom in the Redeemer, bring you to your eternal inheritance.
Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia.